Well, sir, it's about the middle of the morning as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. Fletcher Rush all by himself. Uncle Fletcher stopped past a few moments ago, shouted without receiving an answer, wandered into the front part of the house, shouted some more, and is now persuaded that no one is home. However, just for luck, he calls one more time.
Hello? Anybody upstairs, are they?
Yes. Hello, who is it?
Well, Sadie, honey.
Uncle Fletcher?
I was about to throw in the sponge. I was in the kitchen and hollered, and then in the dining room and hollered, and never got any numbskull reply.
I was in the attic.
Yes, I know.
I never actually heard you holler. Just had a feeling somebody was hollering. I was in the attic with the stairway door closed and couldn't have heard you holler.
That's right. Well, I was riding up the alley with Gumpox on the garbage box, and that half-whipped horse Howard broke his harness in two, and Gumpox figured it'd take him about... Telephone's ringing, Sadie, honey. Telephone's ringing.
Yes, it's Miss Trouble. Will you answer, please?
Sure.
I'm on my way down.
Fine.
Tell Miss Trouble to hold the wire just 8:15 for the second. I gotta clear stuff off in the stair steps to make a pass for myself.
Hello? Who?
Tell her I've been cleaning the attic.
Who? Chuggle, speak up, ma'am.
All right.
Hoogle, speak up, ma'am, speak up.
All right, Uncle Fletcher.
You must have the wrong number, ma'am.
No, Uncle Fletcher, that's Miss Trogle.
Yes, ma'am, you've got the wrong number. Goodbye.
Oh, Uncle Fletcher.
Wrong number.
Well, it was my friend Miss Trogle there on West Monroe Street.
Yes, it sounded like Miss Trogle.
What'd you hang up for?
She had the wrong number.
What do you mean she had the wrong number?
Sadie, honey, you asked me to answer the telephone, and I done so to the best of my ability. You're dissatisfied with the manner in which I attempted to handle her.
All right, Uncle Fletcher. I ought to be on hand to answer my own telephone.
Miss Strogle calls up here and gets the wrong number. It's no fault of mine.
Well, no, of course not. I'll telephone her back directly. Come in the kitchen and hollered and nobody answered, huh?
I shouted 5 or 6 times, I guess. Door open and all, I figured somebody had to be home.
Uh-huh. Well, I was way up in the attic and even had the stairway door closed. I probably couldn't have heard it if there'd been a CNA switch engine down here whistling. But I had that feeling a person gets sometimes.
Not at all, not at all.
Somebody's calling me. Somebody's calling me.
No, fine. Forget it.
Kind of a halfway shivery sensation. I was up there in the attic folding them old green portieres of ours and suddenly stopped. Had the funny notion somebody's calling me.
That happens.
Walked down to the head of the stairway and hollered, and you answered.
Works out that way sometimes.
Trash like that makes a person stop a minute and wonder.
I know.
Well, how have you been, Uncle Fletcher? Haven't seen you since last week.
I've been first rate, Sadie, honey. Thanks for the inquiry.
And Miss Keller, how's she feeling?
Miss Keller don't say a great deal.
Eats 3 hearty meals every day, I suppose.
Eats 3 hearty meals every day. Leaves it go at that. No, she's quiet. I don't comment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I imagine she enjoys...
Sadie, honey, I'll tell you why I stopped past.
Oh, this is a business visit, hmm? I thought you just happened in.
I believe I better explain first shot out of the box that there's something in the wind.
Well, grand, tell me.
It is no secret, of course, that I have a good many irons in the fire.
Hmm.
I have an interest in B.B. Boss Peanut Machine down in the Interurban Station.
Uh-huh.
I'm substitute ticket taker down at the Bijou Moving Picture Show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm substitute milk wagon driver for Snow and Palmer's Dairy.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, I hold a red flag for the street gang when they're tearing up the street.
Hmm.
I often operate Cully Landis's gasoline station while Cully goes home to lunch.
Hmm.
I have those and many other irons in the fire.
Uh-huh.
Now, Sadie, honey.
Hmm.
I believe the professions I've named over are all honorable professions.
Well, oh, yes, yeah, sure.
Because, Sadie, honey... I want your approval in all the various enterprises I turn my hand to.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that.
I take it, then, that there are no complaints so far.
Why, no.
Sadie, honey, I received a new proposition yesterday afternoon.
Oh?
I received a new proposition yesterday afternoon, and I'd like to get your opinion on it.
Well,
this new proposition comes from Hank Gutstuff.
Oh, well, look, Uncle Fletcher, this sounds like man business. Hank Gutstuff is a friend of Vic's. Hank Gutstuff isn't any friend of mine.
I am your niece, Sadie, honey. I am not Vic's niece.
How do you mean?
Any enterprise in which I might get interested in.
Oh, I see. I am your niece. Vic is not your niece.
That's what I said.
You said you were my niece, not Vic's niece.
Exactly, exactly. Any enterprise in which I might get interested is between you and me. And
I still think Vic is better than me to discuss stuff concerning Hank Gutstuff.
This, Sadie, honey, is why I stopped past.
All right.
Shall I proceed?
Yes. What's Hank's proposition?
Hank Gutstuff, Sadie, honey, as you may know or may not know, is the detective down at the Butterhouse Hotel. He occupies the bridal suite there.
Yes, I know all about that, Uncle Fletcher. What's he want you to do?
Hank wants me to take the part of crooks, criminals, scallywags, and rascals.
Oh?
Here's the explanation on it.
Yeah, let's hear that.
Hank has been a detective at the Butterhouse Hotel for several weeks now.
Yes, I know he has.
And so far, he hasn't apprehended a single crook, criminal, scallywag, or rascal.
No?
Not one single crook, criminal, scallywag, or rascal. Beginning to look bad for Hank. The management down there at the hotel is beginning to wonder if they really need any detective.
Oh, I see. And Hank, why
Hank is getting desperate. He don't want to give up that fancy salary and them fancy clothes he wears. He don't want to give up the bridal suit and the aristocratic butler house and go back to that ramshackle bright Kentucky hotel there in the railroad yards.
Oh, well, ish, that needn't concern.
Hank has to turn in a worksheet to the management every day. A worksheet showing what he's accomplished. What is there to write down? Nothing. He hasn't apprehended any crook, criminal, scallywagger, rascal. He hasn't apprehended anybody. The management looks over that empty worksheet and they think, hey, what is this?
Well, tell me what Hank wants you to do.
Hank is desperate. Yesterday morning, just to have something to put down on his worksheet, he threw William S. McFelters out of the lobby.
Who's that?
William S. McFelters has been a resident of the Butler House Hotel for 35 years.
Really?
William S. McFelters moved into the Butler House Hotel in the year 1909.
Good.
He's got four rooms on the fifth floor, and he's lived in them same four rooms for 35 years.
And Hank threw him out of the lobby?
Just to have something to put down on his worksheet.
Well, didn't this gentleman raise the dickens?
William S. McFelters hit the ceiling. Took the management an hour and a half to calm him down. It was gay times down there yesterday morning.
Well, has Hank still got his job?
Just barely hanging on to it by a shoestring. And that's why he's particular desperate. He needs to show them how valuable he is. He needs a crook, criminal, scallywagger, rascal.
And you're the party he's elected.
Hank Gutstuff wants me to appear in the lobby of the Butler House Hotel at least twice a day, every day in the week.
So he can throw you out?
So he can throw me out.
And he'll pay you for that, huh?
He'll pay me for that.
But won't you look like the same crook, criminal, scallywag, and rascal?
Disguises.
Oh, now, really.
Disguises. False whiskers. Fake mustache. Derby hat. Homburg hat. Eyeglasses. Wigs.
Oh, no, now.
Look, criminal, scallywag, or rascal.
Uncle Fletcher, this is entirely your own business, and I wouldn't even pretend to have any say-so, but...
But you don't care for the idea, huh?
No, I don't.
You don't care for the idea. Is that right, Sadie, honey?
I don't care for it the least little bit.
Fine, fine. Enough said. Enough said. All I want to know. All I want to know.
Well, you have lots of lovely things to do
not
without
another
being
word,
part
not
of a thing, swindling, dishonest.
Agreed. 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 Agreed.
You're not enthusiastic over the notion yourself, are you?
Just thought I'd stop past and get your opinion on it, was all.
I don't think you've got a very high opinion of it.
I'm your niece, you know. I feel like I ought to consult you before entering upon any enterprise in which the family...
All right, Uncle Fletcher, let it go with that.
Fine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I expect Gumpox has got his garbage wagon harness spliced together, but now, if I want to catch a ride, I better saunter on out to the alley.
And I have to trot back and wrestle with that attic.
Glorious morning, Sadie Holly.
Yes, it seems to be. Wish I could go out and enjoy it.
Well, I'll stroll on out and catch a ride home with Gumpox on the garbage wagon. I want to screw up a new batch of hyena grease to spare on my shoes before noon.
Uh-huh.
Well, goodbye, Sadie, honey.
Goodbye, Uncle Fletcher.